Maybe not a universe.
Blog Talk Radio.
That's the human society who built it. Who built the ancient monolithic site, traveling all over the earth. How did the extraterrestrials travel from star to star system with almost no time passing? Ohio Exopolitics is on at 8 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio. Join Mark Snyder as he interviews a myriad excellent guests each Saturday night on Revolution Radio.
And freedomslips.com.
Hi, this is the voice from Carrie Templeman. Have you ever thought about how this seems like a farm? The food comes with daily recommended allowance, just like any other farm animal. If you get out of line, you get crowded, slapped, or killed if you're too much liability. And if you are not earning your keep, you can find yourself in prison for non-payment of taxes or child support. If you're tired of being farm product, join us every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Studio B, and Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Studio B, right here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghosts of the spirit to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight to 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic ride.
Once again, time for Ohio Exopolitics Radio with your host, Mark Snyder. Join him with his ongoing research of the fact that we know not.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. And our guest tonight is Dan Willis. Dan, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Mark.
Can you tell the listeners about your website?
I have a little article I wrote about the agreed-upon reality and why it's being controlled and why the people fear exposing the extraterrestrial situation, and that's www.thewebmatrix.net.
We were going to talk about taking the red pill tonight and waking up to our reality. I have several clips to play, kind of representing the areas where I think we here in the world need to wake up. Where did you want to start tonight, Dan?
Well, you know, I never talked on this subject before. I just thought I'd dive in with you on the psychological aspect of, most of the movie Matrix, gave an interesting analogy, where, the people who, if you take the blue pill, you go about your normal, what seems to be the apparent reality that, you watch on TV, you go to work, you what you get on the news, what you learned in school, what your parents say, what the people at church say, you have a certain reality. And then you've got the people who believe they see little glitches that happen in this reality, and they want to see what's behind all this. There's something more. There's something, a little voice in the back of your mind says there's, you can see the glitches and you know there's something more, and you want to know the truth, and the truth is really important to you. And those people are the ones that are willing to take the red pill and see the mechanisms that are going on behind the scenes. And I think, you know, everybody who's listening is obviously of the red pill variety, and also they wouldn't be listening to the show. So, you know, it's just kind of an interesting transition from our early childhood indoctrination into this world to the point where we start seeing the glitches.
Well, tell us about some of those glitches. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, the glitches in the reality. Well, you know, the UFO one is one of the major glitches and probably pivotal at, you know, a lot of what's going on in the world, as though it seems, you know, far removed, and people laugh at it, and there's a giggle factor and everything. You know, when people see UFOs, and I think MUFON, Richard Dolan, was saying something like 15 to 16,000 a month are being reported.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you have your government, you know, where you have thousands of people who put a petition in, including myself. Say we have, you know, all these witnesses, and the government says, oh, there's absolutely no evidence, you know. You have events like 9/11, where all of a sudden you have the cameras that filmed the supposed airplane that came in and crashed into the Pentagon. All of the film is confiscated, you know. And you have NASA with the Apollo moon, you know, one of the most important events of history, you know, the Apollo moon landing film, all of a sudden is, they can't locate it. You have situations where John F. Kennedy was shot by, and the Warren Commission, headed by Alan Dulles, the man who Kennedy fired for his subversive activities in the CIA, saying it's a lone gunman, and then all the files related to the JFK assassination have been classified as secret. You've got, you know, Bush, head of the secrecy order, going all the way back to his dad when he was a CIA director, so nobody in the public can access. You know, so you have all these little glitches that go on, that kind of circumstantial evidence that something else is going on that they don't want people to see or know. Just go about your daily business, nothing to see here, move along, you know. Those are, you know, just some examples of the glitches in reality.
Tell us about some of the witnesses on the Disclosure Project.
Well, you know, I'd like to share, you know, my witness testimony. If people aren't familiar, I was one of the witnesses that, you know, testified in Washington and was willing to testify under oath. We all said that, all 21 witnesses, back in May 9, 2001. And all that came about by another glitch in the reality, you could say, where President Clinton wanted to find out about the UFO subject. He had a curiosity about it. And his CIA director, James Woolsey, sent him in to get the files, and here the CIA director is denied access. So you have supposedly a government system that you would think that a president or a CIA director or head of intelligence, normally in a legal constitutional government, the way we've been learned, or we've been taught in school, that they would have access to these things, but they're not. And so what happened was the Disclosure Project came about, to make a long story short. A frustrated CIA director brought in a civilian authority, which was Dr. Greer at the time. He was the head of the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. He brought in all the papers. The director said, I know the subject's real. I know why the hell I can't gain access to it. Dr. Greer became aware this is something serious, that, you know, the regular traditional legal channels have been compromised within our government. So something's going on. So the only way you can piece this puzzle together is get all the pieces of the puzzle from hundreds of witnesses to come forward. So between 1993 and 2000, he collected over 500 witnesses. 21 of them are willing to go before 22 cameras in the back row of the National Press Club and all the major media of the world and disclose incredible information of bases on the other side of the moon, 57 different species, NASA airbrushing the UFOs out before releasing to the public, nuclear missiles being shut down. All this was disclosed, but the mainstream media, another glitch in the reality, only stated that, oh, there's a group in Washington. They want to have a congressional hearing based on that we're not alone in the universe, but not talking about the technologies that have been hidden for over 60 years that can get us off of nuclear oil, coal, that we have the scientists, just like when CBS special assignment team came in to interview me, and I said, I'm not doing this interview unless I can say on the air that we have the scientists willing to come forth in a congressional hearing that can prove that we have these technologies, that we haven't needed nuclear oil or coal for like 60 years and stop the environmental damage, promised up and down, but when it actually happened, the higher executives, she said, made her cut that part out. So another glitch in the reality. So, you have this world that the mainstream media is portraying to everyone, but you have these behind-the-scenes operations keeping and maintaining the world the way it is, and you could say retarded, in a way that here it is, 2014. You know, we haven't needed power lines. We haven't needed internal combustion engines, although we can have transitionary technologies that convert them all to hydrogen so you don't throw them all away. But, there's a lot of transitionary technologies, and ultimately, they have zero-point energy generating devices. For a decade, I've traveled around the planet meeting with inventors, heard the horror stories of, CIA threatening them. A lot of people have been with national security acts. In fact, over 5,000 patent inventions offering a solution to the world for energy generation have been suppressed to the people of the world with the National Security Act because it violates national security. But I read that as the transnational corporations that are involved in the oil industry, nuclear industry, and big money that has pulling the strings behind the scenes for a long time on this planet and behind a lot of things. But since 1917, they knew that they could purchase all of the main newspapers at the time and control the perception of the public. And their main objective has been to manipulate this perception of the general populace. And so when you're born into this reality, your school books have been edited. Even the rewriting of history of what happened in World War II has been completely rewritten by the Rockefeller Foundation back in 1946. The Nazis planning on infiltrating. Very clearly, they had what was called worldview warfare, where they wanted to go in and infiltrate into the CIA, which they did, and NASA, and control the complete interpretation of the entire populace by creating a matrix of perception through the mainstream media, education, you name it, so that the majority of the population have this certain view of what reality is. And all this is connected in with the CIA through the mainstream distribution of the media, and the CIA is connected in with the Tavistock Institute with thousands of think tanks that have the psychological the art of psychology and sociology down to a fine art so that they can craft of perception in many different ways, you know, using the mainstream media and other avenues. So people have been, you know, my father was a career Marine with a presidential citation, you know, a right-wing Republican, you know, he used to bring out the American flag all the time, and, you know, you know, right after Kennedy was murdered, you know, the war in Vietnam escalated, and I went into the Navy and ended up in Vietnam anyway. But the thing that got me was when I was working in communications and I got that report of an extraterrestrial craft coming out of the ocean from an official Navy, you know, secret priority level going to Chief of Naval Operations, of this reddish-orange elliptical glowing saucer that the ship's crew was witnessing that shot up going about 7,000 miles per hour according to the radar operator. I mean, my testimony was, you know, insignificant compared to the rest of the witnesses. You know, it left a little glitch seat, you could say, into my mind, and so it always was curious about it. But it wasn't until 2000 that a friend wanted to go to a conference in Laughlin, Nevada, and I heard that Dr. Greer was going to Washington with all these witnesses that he gathered, and I was I happened to crash a cocktail party and said, by the way, I had a top secret clearance, and I received this message, and he said, oh, well, it's videotaped you in the morning. So I was like the 100th person to be videotaped with a full testimony of what happened. And, you know, still, I started becoming aware, this is back in 2000, of these hundreds of testimonies, because we were in the process of putting together a 4-hour executive briefing document for the president and members of Congress and the Pentagon, as well as a 500-page a briefing document. And so I became intimately aware of all these testimonies. But I'll tell you, Mark, at the time, even though I was looking at all these testimonies, I mean, you got generals, admirals, astronauts, you got high-level people who don't even know each other with collaborating documentation, official documentation of the military. I still had a hard time getting my mind around it. I knew there was something going on, but, you know, it's like it's so different from what you were raised, you know, like when I was a kid in the 50s enjoying science fiction movies. I love watching, you know, The Day the Earth Stood Still or Forbidden Planet, you know, and all the science fiction movies. And I had no idea that the CIA was actually editing the scripts on those things in order to form a perception in the populace while all this was going on in the black projects with trillions of dollars being funded into it. They actually had, you know, interaction with extraterrestrials and were working on advanced flying saucers. As Mark McCandish, one of the witnesses that joined me, saw with his colleague 3 hovering disks at Norton Air Force Base. So they had this stuff back in the 50s. So, you know, my family is kind of like you know, evangelical Christians and like that, you know, and they think, you know, the weird uncle with into aliens and stuff, you know. But, you know, I'm into truth, and it pains me to see what is going on in the world when I know that there's these hidden hands of operations going on that are purposely keeping humanity retarded. Well, we have this incredible potential if these technologies are released and the truth comes out about everything. But, you know, I don't know how. I know the legal government, when this whole thing started, they basically had 2 CIAs. One was recruiting Nazis. The other one was trying to hunt them down. and the legal government was trying to figure out, you know, how. Like, let's see, who was it? Gordon Cooper said, you know, they found out that there was one lie on top of another lie. They had a lie, and they were trying to figure out how to bring this out. And as Colonel Corso said, you know, what the government feared most was disclosure. So here you have these elements working for these hidden elements that were their unconstitutional or secret government, you could call it, that had these operations going on, you know, including illegal drug operations and everything else going on with the Nazis. And but then you have our legal government that, you know, how are we going to bring this knowledge to the people? You know, it's like, and we don't have our hands clean either. You know, there's a whole lot of, you know, lies that have been built upon other lies. So it's just a kind of a awkward situation that has been perpetuating all the way till, you know, from the early 1940s to 2014. And we're in this predicament today. And, you know, I look at people who, you know, everybody's just trying to make a living. You know, everybody's struggling. It's trying to make the bills. You know, they watch the sports and they come home and, you know, it's like, you know, the UFO thing is like they hear about it on the news and it's like, you know, it's interesting. You know, it's like, yeah, maybe there's life, you know, possibility of life. Well, that's what SETI's for, you know. They have these big electromagnetic telescopes out there, and maybe we'll find life someplace. In the meantime, they've got NASA, you know, shooting up rockets and things. When they had anti-gravity craft back in the back in the 40s, you know, so we have these props in order to keep the reality matrix for the rest of the populace, you know, thinking in a certain way that this is our cutting edge of technology. We have to drive an internal combustion engine running on gasoline. We need these dangerous nuclear power plants to give us electrical power. There isn't any other option other than, you know, some solar panels and wind generators, which are kind of, you know, I'm off grid up here on the mountaintop, but, you know, it's kind of lame when you compare it to the technology that's available in these black projects that everybody could have a little box that runs everything in their house. But, you know, how are you going to get a meter on that one? You know, just like Tesla ran up against with J.P. Morgan. You know, he wanted to give, as soon as he knew he was going to give free electricity to everyone, he said, you know, and he dismantled that one. So, you know, I guess what I wanted to talk about, Mark, is the psychology differences. You know, when everybody who's listening probably had somebody in their family. If you've researched and dug into this, you find out that it's not a conspiracy theory. There's a lot more to it than that. And that once you start, it's like once you open the Pandora's box and understand, your reality is never the same. You can never go back. You can never close the box back once you know the truth behind a lot of this stuff. And trying to convey it to somebody else is a challenge.
Well, you mentioned SETI, and a lot of people don't realize how many Earth-like planets have been discovered by either the Hubble or the Kepler mission. So let me play a clip or part of a clip that talks about one of these Earth-like planets that's been recently discovered by the Kepler mission.
Sure.
Earth is the lone oceanic planet in the family of the Sun. Now, imagine a planetary system with two of them. Astronomers may have found just such a system. And the two water worlds orbiting there are among the closest analogs of Earth yet found. The star, Kepler-62, about 1,200 light-years away in the constellation Lyra, is like our Sun, but smaller and cooler. So the habitable orbits, where water can be liquid, are closer in. Each of the two candidate water worlds could be entirely covered by a global ocean, according to astronomers' computer models. Orbiting once every 122 Earth days, Kepler-62e could be tropical, humid and hot, with a very cloudy atmosphere. It's perhaps 60% bigger than Earth. Further out, in a 267-day orbit, Kepler-62f is about 40% larger than Earth. And it's almost surely cooler. In fact, it could be an ice ball from pole to pole, unless it has a lot of carbon dioxide in its atmosphere. These two share their star with three less hospitable planets, orbiting too close in and so too hot for liquid water. With no land masses and no chance for fire, it's hard for us to visualize how any intelligent inhabitants could build a technological society on a totally oceanic world.
NASA's Kepler mission has discovered three super-Earth-sized planets orbiting in the habitable zone of their stars. The habitable zone is the distance from a star where the surface temperature of an orbiting planet could be suitable for liquid water. Each of the three new planets is less than twice the size of Earth. About 360 light-years from Earth, two of the newly discovered planets are in a five-planet system called Kepler-62. The host star is smaller and cooler than our Sun and has three planets that orbit very close, making them hot, inhospitable worlds. Farther away are two planets in the habitable zone. Orbiting on the inner edge of the habitable zone is Kepler-62e. It is about 60% larger than the size of Earth and orbits every 122 days. The smallest of the habitable zone planets is called Kepler-62f. It is 40% larger in size than Earth and is likely a rocky world. Kepler-62f orbits every 267 days. These two planets are the smallest yet discovered in the habitable zone of another star. Much farther away, about 2,700 light-years from Earth, is a two-planet system around a star called Kepler-69. The star is the same type and very similar to our own Sun, although it is slightly smaller and cooler. The inner planet, Kepler-69b, is 2.2 times the size of Earth and orbits every 13 days. It is much hotter and closer to its star than the planet Mercury is to the Sun. The outer planet, Kepler-69c, is about 70% larger than Earth and orbits every 242 days. It is the smallest planet found in the habitable zone of a Sun-like star.
Kepler-62f and Kepler-62 and 69 have what they think are habitable planets around them. It's interesting, Dan, you don't hear this kind of information on the news, do you?
Well, you know, they keep putting out the possibility. You know, the media will continually say, oh, we are not alone, you know. It's like keep putting out, oh, yeah, there's more life out there, you know. But, you know, back in 1989, according to a sworn witness testimony, we've already categorized 57 different extraterrestrial species that have been interacting with Earth, you know. But the main populace, we feed them little crumbs and say, oh, there's a possibility that there might be life out there, you know. It's like, you know, we'll keep searching for it. But, you know, they know very well there's a lot of life, you know. It, on the cosmic scale of things, you know, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, they thought the Earth was flat, and then they thought the entire universe, including the Sun and everybody else, was rotating around planet Earth, you know. And now, you know, human race is just starting to come under the comprehension that, out of the trillions of galaxies and trillions of habitable Goldilocks-type planets that are, you know, in all these trillions and trillions of stars, you mean to tell me that we're not alone? You know, what a surprise, you know.
Did you get to know Sergeant Clifford Stone very well?
Yeah, well, you know, I sat next to him. We went over to brief the Pentagon after doing the disclosure event at the press, National Press Club, and I was sitting next to him. And I remember him, there was like some top brass, you know, military people, and he got up and spoke. And he spoke about one of his retrieval cases where the extraterrestrial, he was a sensitive, and he had a cosmic level clearance which allows him into the extraterrestrial matter. And the ET telepathically. That's what they do. They don't need that. They talk directly into your mind. Communicated to him and said, "I'm afraid," you know. And when Clifford said that to the group, it somehow, you know how you have an experience and you convey it to somebody else and you have the emotion with it? It's like everybody got kind of teary-eyed. It was generals and stuff like that. You could sense that, you know, here a being, you know, from... being on Earth is a scary thing, I'll tell you. You know,
sure.
I mean, you know what they can do to you here.
Absolutely, so, I totally agree. It would have to be a scary thing. Now, Clifford Stone would go out on the crash retrievals, right? And he was someone that had a special ability. He could telepathically communicate with these beings when other people just couldn't. Correct.
Well, everybody has the ability, some more than others, you know, but he was sensitive and, you know, and he's been, you know, like you said, it's, you know, there's been a number of crashes that have happened, but they're rare when they happen. And he was, you know, part of a retrieval team. So he was a dynamite witness to join the other witnesses that, shared a lot about, you know, the idea that, you know, we have, what I'd love to do, you know, is show you what they cut out. I got a really short clip.
Great.
On the audio and show you what they cut out. It's very important to realize that, you know, even though all the testimonies that I just told you about was revealed, while the news made it sound of like, oh, is there life on other planets? People say there as proof there is, you know. People want to have a congressional hearing based on the reality of UFOs. But no, we want to have a congressional hearing based on illegal secret government operations that have been in hiding of advanced reverse engineered technology. And that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of absolute fact that there's extraterrestrials and there's these operations going on. So I'll just play the CNN coverage of the National Press Club event, and I'll show you how they took apart. The speech was loaded with hot topics, and somehow they went through the entire first hour, which was, by the way, jammed by the NSA with over 500 people logged on to hear this thing. Explosive things. But all Dr. Greer was able to say after they cut out was these objects have been tracked on by radar going thousands of miles per hour, stopping in right-hand turns, and then they cut it, right? And I'll show you what he plays afterwards. So here's the CNN clip.
Life on other planets? Some former military and government personnel say they have proof there is. Elaine Quijano explains.
We've seen the photographs and heard the stories of what some say is evidence of UFOs. Now a group of scientists, former Air Force and FAA officials, is lending its voice to the argument that we are not alone. Dr. Stephen Greer heads up the Disclosure Project, a group that compiles information from people who say they've encountered extraterrestrial forms of life.
We can establish through this testimony that these objects of extraterrestrial origin have been tracked on radar going thousands of miles per hour, stopping and making right-hand turns.
Since 1993, Dr. Greer says he has videotaped testimony from more than 100 people about what they say are close encounters. People like retired Navy Commander Pilot Graham Bethune, who believes he saw a UFO 50 years ago while flying to Newfoundland.
Then it appeared over to the right and moved out slowly and flew with us. It was still not at our altitude, but we could see the shape of it. It had a dome.
In addition, the Disclosure Project says it has documents supporting its case, including FAA records and CIA memos.
What do members plan to do with their information? They hope Congress and President Bush take notice.
They want to see congressional hearings into the matter, despite criticism from skeptics.
Well, but we're not going to believe her anyway, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the truth.
A spokesperson for the Senate Science, Technology, and Space Committee says no congressional hearings are planned right now. Elaine Quijano, CNN.
Dan, why didn't Dr. Greer do any? Why didn't he do more of these disclosure type events? I always thought it would be really great to have some more.
He toured across the entire country, going to every major city. I toured with him across the whole U.S. But I'd like to follow up on that. But notice how they say, we've heard this story before. You know, what do they want to do with us? They want to have President Bush. They want to see congressional hearings into the matter of the reality of UFOs, you know. But let me play just a few seconds after we've tracked on radar going thousands of miles per hour, stopping and making right-hand turns. What he says after making right-hand turns, make special note.
Okay.
We can establish through this testimony that these objects of extraterrestrial origin have been tracked on radar going thousands of miles per hour, stopping and making right-hand turns, that they use anti-gravity propulsion systems, which we have already figured out how they work in classified projects in the United States, Great Britain, and elsewhere, that these objects have landed on terra firma, at times have been disabled and have been retrieved specifically by teams within the United States, that extraterrestrial life forms have been retrieved, and their vehicles have been taken and studied thoroughly for at least 50 years. We can prove through the testimony and documents that we will be presenting that this subject has been hidden from members of Congress and at least two presidential administrations, and that the Constitution of the United States has been subverted by the growing power of these classified projects, and that this is a danger to the national security.
Okay, so could you hear the audio coming through okay on that?
Oh, it was great. I thought it was great.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, note where it was cut, you know, because if any of things after right-hand turns got put on major networks across the planet, CNN, CBS, ABC, you know, if that happened, that would raise red flags all over, and people would think, what? You know, this is what they want to have congressional hearings, not about the reality of UFOs, that they have these illegal projects. In fact, the very first CIA director, Helen Cotter, he said he was very afraid of the dangers, not of the UFO matter, but of the secrecy surrounding the UFO matter. And, you know, Kennedy, before he was murdered, you know, he spoke of the dangers of secrecy and that and of secret societies and that there is a monolithic conspiracy that expands its sphere of influence through infiltration. And what it appears is that all the main channels for change, you know, writing a letter to your senator or congressperson, trying to go on the mainstream media, or, you know, whatever traditional channels for change in the government or to bring something to awareness has been compromised. Even if you're a president or a CIA director and you want to look into this, you can find that the channels have been compromised and you're denied access. So trying to transform this world from the mechanisms that are in place as Dr. Greer found out when we toured across the United States and all the major cities, since the major networks sanitize the information out, the only way to get it was to do like a grassroots movement, go from city to city. So I joined him, you know, in the major cities and in Denver, San Diego, L.A., San Francisco, you know, all down Portland, you know, all over the whole West Coast. And we went up these huge halls, You know, the TV teams that come in and interview myself and Dr. Greer, you know, they'd usually cut me out because I'd talk about the government being infiltrated, and so that won't work, you know. And then they would, you know, in San Diego, they had dancing alien dolls with smoke, and in San Francisco, they said, oh, the Disclosure Project's looking to aliens to solve the world's energy problems, and in Portland, they were saying free energy and extraterrestrials. Come on, let's get on with the big story. This week, the Bozos meet the Broncos in the playoffs, you know. And so the giggle factor works because it's not really it's kind of promoted in the normal rationale of life that the UFO thing is kind of like, well, it's kind of like for those kind of people that, if you've ever been to one of the UFO conferences with, you know, people wearing the alien heads and, you know, all this, it's like a zoo, you know, people don't really want to be associated with that because it's not
sure.
Like something, the main thing is that, you know, people are just trying to, they don't have time to deal with conspiracy stuff. It doesn't affect their life in any way, right? I mean, how could this UFO or ET issue possibly impact their life? And that's what effectively the mainstream media news coverage did for everybody sitting back on the couch, eating potato chips and listening to the evening news. Was that, well, you know, oh, they want to have a congressional hearing based on UFOs. Well, you know, that's pretty good of Dr. Greer to get, you know, at the time we had 450 witnesses. I mean, how many do you need, really, you know? I mean, would 10 be enough, or 450, about 2,000? And these are people, you know, within the military, the intelligence community, in the corporate, you know, people who... you know, not just your regular, I mean, people see UFOs across the entire planet. A lot of people see them. But when you get into a situation in an official capacity, like say I was with a top secret clearance, getting an authenticated message going to Chief of Naval Operations, you know, it adds more credibility to it. So you got 450 of these people, you know. And, you know, you just don't... How does this affect the average person? You know, it doesn't. They have to understand that there is technologies that have been hidden that could impact everybody's life, and that there are situations in the world, since the CIA controls the distribution of all the mainstream media, the perceptions are created, and then you have infiltration within our intelligence community. Like Snowden said, you know, what is being done in our name and is being done against us is what he wanted to bring to attention. And then William Binney, a 30-year veteran of the NSA who quit after the 9/11 event, after the Bush administration put in the new policies, he was disgusted with it, and he said publicly about a month or so ago, the main goal of the NSA is population control, you know, and they have these quantum artificial intelligence computers with storage capacity of hundreds of years for the entire global communications that can, you know, listening to this conversation as well as everybody else, that can pretty much understand who's the blue pill and who's the red pill people, you know. So, you know, you could read it in population control however you want, you know. But it doesn't, from what he's saying, they're not really out there chasing terrorists. They're gathering information on everybody. And if you have these unwarranted influences that Eisenhower tried to warn us about within this industrial-military complex, and that Kennedy tried to warn us about, you've got a situation where they're using the shield of national security as you can't look into this, you know, for the sake of national security. Can't look into the Pentagon videotapes or anything happening in 9/11. National security. Can't look into JFK. National security. Well, if you can't look into all the presidential files from Bush to his daddy that was back in the Reagan era. He did an executive order to redo that. Also, Eisenhower did a special secret executive order that put all the people that were in this cabal group with Alan Dulles as a head back in 1954, back when he made contact with extraterrestrials, and they did an agreement with and they couldn't really disclose that because they wanted technology from the Zeta Reticuli people. I mean, this just sounds like it keeps its own best secrecy, because if you try to explain this to the average guy on the street, they think you're Looney Tunes, because it sounds so far-fetched from what they've been indoctrinated with that it can't really wrap your mind around it. But, you know, when you look at the thousands of people that have been abducted, according to, you know, work of Brett Hopkins and, you know, John Mack and all these other people, but most of those we find that they're military-related or called MILABs, where you have extraterrestrials working in conjunction with military, even way back in the 60s with Betty Barney Hill. You know, Barney, when he was taken under, he saw an evil-eyed Nazi, you know, under deep hypnosis on board with the Zeta Reticuli. So, you know, and the whole thing about the Nazis, you know, going to Antarctica base and, you know, Admiral Byrd going down there and being defeated by the flying discs and, you know, all this sounds like the most bizarre science fiction movie. Well, we never learned that stuff in high school or in any of our history. They took out all that stuff, and especially the aspects of consciousness, because I see that as maybe since we can't really transform this reality through the traditional channels, it seems like the only way we can really change this is from within, is one approach, at least at my understanding at this point. I'm continually going from one state of naiveness to becoming more aware, as, you know, many people are. But it seems that there's definite proof that there is a collective consciousness, and that the mind is like a holographic part of one larger intelligence that we're all part of, and that it's like when people get ideas or inventions, other people will get the same idea and invention that are another part of the planet at the same time. It's this idea, and you can see it on the social networks. You can see these trends of awareness propagating, and I think the more we can become aware that we've been hoodwinked, and that, and in fact, there was a conspiracy by all the universities back in 1957, according to Professor Isaac in London, said there was this huge conspiracy to remove everything that had to do with consciousness related with psychology out of the book. So, you know, they call the occult a cult because it's hidden. I think people need to understand more about the metaphysics of reality and who we are. You know, I like one person said, you know, he who understands everything in the world is ignorant who does not understand themselves. Because, you know, the science has become so materialistic where everybody's looking at everything in the world, but who's looking at everything in the world? Who are we? What are we? Where did we come from? You know, all these answers and things, I think, will eventually become more mainstream in the future as we hopefully have a positive interaction with the extraterrestrials once we become a more peaceful civilization.
Well, you said something there, Dan, I thought was real interesting. An allusion to the fact that our politicians aren't even really serving the public anymore. I've got a clip from Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, who talks about our administration and compares it to Putin and the Russian administration, I think you might find this interesting.
The bottom line on this is Russia has a real leader. May not like him, and I don't, but he is brilliant and ruthless. He has clear goals, and he moves straight toward those goals. The West lacks a leader. Like it or not, the President of the United States is the de facto leader of the West, and our president just is not, he's incapable and unwilling to lead. The weakness is phenomenal. Now, you know, we are not as weaker than we were in the Carter years. I was in that military. It was pathetic. Our military today is the best in the world, best in our history, although Obama wants to dismantle it. We're also immensely wealthier than the Carter years. The problem is that as a president, Obama is far weaker than Carter, and he's probably the worst president we've ever had. He is a man who is incapable of making a hard decision. And by the way, one other key point. Vladimir Putin believes in Russia. He believes in Russia's destiny, its mission. Obama does not believe in American exceptionalism. He does not
Hang on. That is a powerful commentary. KT gets the last word.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right.
So, Dan, it seems like we really haven't had a real leader since Kennedy. What are your thoughts?
What was that question again, Mark? I'm sorry.
We haven't had a real leader since Kennedy, a leader that was looking out for our interests, the interests of the people.
I have a little clip here on, you know, it's interesting, it was talking about Carter. Well, one of our witnesses that joined me in Washington was Daniel Sheehan, who witnessed that Carter was denied access by George H.W. Bush, who was a CIA director, when he went to get the CIA files. So, you know, more proof. Well, at least he was trying to get in there to expose that stuff. But, you know, it's the Soviets. It's interesting. You know, my USO report, where it's coming out of the ocean, the Soviet Navy gets thousands of these reports of UFOs coming. In fact, most of them come out of the ocean and shoot off into space. A lot of people don't see them because they're not by land. Mm. So, Kennedy, there was an interesting document that I saw that was called the Byrne Memo that Alan Dulles was addressing it. He was MJ-1. He was part of the new secret executive order that Eisenhower did to create this new MJ-12 group, Majestic 12. And that Kennedy was looking into, because he fired Alan Dulles for his subversive activities that he was doing. And Dulles was responsible for, you know, bringing all the Nazis into the CIA, lying to Truman about the false Soviet estimates. That was $8 trillion what we paid out of the taxpayers. And now I hear that the Middle East wars, which are all based on starting from 9/11, is cost us so far about $6 trillion, the normal estimate. And, you know, the war on terror, you know, according to one of the witnesses that was spokesperson for Wernher von Braun, they said the first lie would be the false flag would be the Soviets, and they did that, and we know that. And then there would be terrorists. Well, actually, there was rogue nations and terrorists. And 4 months after the May 9th, 2001, we have 9/11 happening. And then the final card, they said, would be the extraterrestrial threat, which we already know that they have the technology to pull that off. As Ben Risch said back in 93, anything you can imagine, we have already done. Have the technology to take E.T. home, but it would take an act of God to get this technology out to benefit humanity. And, you know, this is the stranglehold that these very powerful, the trouble is, we don't have the golden rule happening where people are doing to other people what they would have them do to you. You know, we have people who have the gold making the rules, and And that's where we have the best government money can buy, is what, who said that? I'm trying to remember his name. Anyway, that was back in the 30s.
Dan, we're running close on time. We're going to hit the break here probably in a minute. I just wanted to give you a little warning.
Okay, so much to cover on the subject. I wanted to get more into the psychology between the people who are, you know, the average guy out there. It's not his fault. He's been indoctrinated. He doesn't know any better. He's been fed that stuff in school, fed it in the mainstream media, and there's no inclination for him to look elsewhere, you know. And then we have the people who are like are listening, who are searching for, want to put more pieces of the puzzle together to understand this hidden reality and the glitches that they have experienced in their own life.
It is amazing how much information there is here. You know, here we've talked for an hour and we've just barely scratched the surface.
I know. It's like that.
It's kind of crazy. You know, you mentioned something about, I don't know if you said this or not, these very words, but I think we really have a Pandora's box here, and I've heard Bob. We'll talk about this.
There we go.
Gentlemen, there will be an extended break. I think AMAD just put in two breaks for the reason being that the sound is just going nuts on Revolution Radio's website.
The sound is?
Yeah, for a long time they had A playing out of both A and B, and when they got to working on fixing it, it started playing both out of both, which is a problem. So I've got to bring B back in so they can work on it, but I wanted you to know.
Yeah. Are we going to have a 10-minute break? A 10-minute break?
A-Man said he put in two breaks, so.
So that would be 10 minutes, right?
Mark, I don't get to see the producer page. I can't tell you.
Oh, okay. So we'll just have to.
They haven't admitted me to that inner sanctum yet.
Oh, really? How long have you been producing? A year?
November. Since
oh, my
November.
God. Well, okay. Well, we're going to have an extended break, Dan, so have a drink.
What does that mean to us?
That means we'll be listening to music maybe for 10 minutes, right?
Oh, okay. When does that start?
Well, it already started.
I dropped the studio for the moment, and we will bring it back in just a second.
Okay. It'll probably just be music for like 6 or 7 minutes then at least.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Oh, then it fades out. Okay. And then we have, what, 10 minutes to do show or something like that?
No, we have about 50 minutes after that. We
okay.
got 2 hours.
I'm bringing Studio B coming back.
All right.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Badge, host of Inside the Iron Line. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit, and talk shows, there is Inside the Iron Line, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fed, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Thank you.
There is no denying the world is awakening. We see it in the global uprisings and demonstrations of the people around the planet and the new way of thinking and living that is arising naturally within each one of us and our communities. I have been a major player in this global shift and movement for over 20 years and have helped tens of thousands of people around the world change their lives and find their voice in order to help create the paradigm change we so desperately need. Join me here at Revolution Radio on the Just Bernard Show every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time for 2 hours of powerful interviews and discussions with some of the most influential visionaries of consciousness, alternative media, and suppressed knowledge. We promise to reveal the real matrix and empower your human experience.
Finder of lost children and missing persons. Surveillance, civil and criminal investigations.
I investigate. No, I am.
Do not underestimate the power of good, and do not dismiss the strength of a child.
Yes, every Wednesday evening on Revolution Radio, come join our very own eye investigatrix, Monique Lipson, with her private eye X-File.
So you're the finder of lost children.
Private eye X-Files, every Wednesday from 7 to midnight Eastern Studio B on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I realize it's very hard to take in. But it's your destiny to find the golden child.
There is no good and evil. There is only power. And those too weak to seek it.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, men. Fight it with all that is in us. May God defend the right.
Be sure to tune in weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for Strange Universe with Sean David Morton, with a strange, interesting, and engaging wide variety of topics. So be here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
I would like to take you on a strange journey.
Revolution Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I thought we were going to have a extra long extended extended break there, but that really wasn't all that long. I'd like to welcome back Dan Willis, my guest. Dan, before we went to the break, I kind of lost track of what our last topic there was, but let me remind everyone, we are listener-supported radio, so make sure you press that PayPal button and make a donation. Dan, if you wanted to finish your thought, go ahead. I do have a clip I want to play on reincarnation because you said something earlier about the collective consciousness, and I think reincarnation is tied into that. And see, the real deal here with the whole UFO extraterrestrial thing is that it's a Pandora's box. Once you open that box, you're going to find out that almost everything that you think you know or that you think you knew before is really wrong. It's really taking the red pill. It's really waking up to this bigger reality. And one of the things that the powers that be do is they emphasize fear. And I don't want to emphasize fear on this show. I want people's minds to be open. I want people's minds to be opened. I don't want to emphasize fear because fear shuts down thinking. And just like real powerful religions have done in the past is they shut people's thinking down. And I want to keep people's minds open, and I think that's better for exopolitics in general. So you sounded like you wanted to jump in
excellent.
There, Dan. Go ahead.
Excellent
go ahead.
Point, Mark. Absolute excellent point. You know, and that's the more you understand, the more you understand the power that you have within you, and that is the last thing they want you to know. As the Tavistock Institute has researched the studies of stress and fear, that it makes people subservient to government control, and that's why you see, you know, the media is just filled with, you know, humans killing and hurting other humans all the time. You have all this barrage of this going into the subconscious minds of everybody, and they know exactly what they're doing. So,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely, the more you understand, the more you realize that, you know, we are all connected, we are all one, and that once you understand who you are, there is no reason for fear.
Fear is a tool of the elite. Fear gets us back in the box. And I think that's what they're going to do, or they're going to try to do, or their plan was to do, is to create this quote-unquote alien invasion. And they've hidden this technology from us for years and years and years. So what they're going to do, I think, is pop this if they have to. They may not have to. They may be able to keep us afraid enough with terrorists that they can create a police state. So we're really...
Von Braun
spilled
the beans on that. They've been prepping us in our subconscious since 1951 with all these evil alien movies coming here to kill all of us and take over the planet. But as you know, you and I are having this conversation, they've been here before mankind. And in fact, some of the religious events that have been written about, you know, we're probably most likely extraterrestrial initiated.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And we could do a whole show on that. I really get on my soapbox there. I don't want to go. I have a clip here on reincarnation, because part of taking the red pill is understanding who and what we are. And the more I study reincarnation, the more I'm convinced that reincarnation is real and that we live many, many lifetimes, and that the human spirit is the part of us that exists beyond the material lifetimes. And that's what's so beautiful about reincarnation, is it takes away the fear of death. Now, the point of our life is to gain wisdom. Wisdom is a kind of knowledge that produces energy. And when we produce the energy associated with wisdom, we help the whole creation in its evolutionary process. And I want to play a clip here. This is about a little boy, and he's referred to as Sam in this case study. And when the boy was about 18 months old, he looked up at his father and said, "When you were about my age, I used to change your diaper." And this, the guy speaking here, yeah, very interesting. The guy speaking here is Professor Jim Tucker, and he's doing research on past lives. He says that very young children between the age of 2 and 3 will have memories of past lives. And Dr. Ian Stevenson did over 3,000 interviews with people who had past life memories. So anyway, let me play part of this clip. It's rather long. I won't play the whole thing.
Yeah, the veil of forgetfulness.
This little boy is referred to as Sam in case studies. A year and a half before he was born, his grandfather died.
When he was about 18 months old, his dad was changing his diaper one day, and Sam looked up at him and said, "When I was your age, I used to change your diaper."
Since 1996, Dr. Jim Tucker, a psychiatrist at the University of Virginia, has been gathering case studies of past life recognition in children that could prove that a soul returns to Earth in another body.
We've now got 2,500 cases in our files from all over the world.
Many people believe in some form of reincarnation. The concept dates back to 800 BC and the Hindu Upanishads. Beginning in India, the belief that some essential part of ourselves may return after death to a new body is now being examined by some scientists as another way to prove the survival of consciousness. Can the study of past life recollections support this theory? The answer may lie within young children's memories.
Very young children, usually between the age of 2 or 3, who start reporting that they have memories from having had a past life. Some of them talk about being deceased relatives, but others will talk about being strangers in other locations. And if they give enough details, like the name of the other location, people have often gone there and found that, in fact, someone had died in the recent past whose life matches the details that the children gave.
The late psychiatrist Dr. Ian Stevenson advanced the field of reincarnation research in the 1960s, interviewing over 3,000 people who claimed to have past life memories. Two-thirds of them said that in a previous life, they died from unusual causes. He focused on...
Anyway, that's an awesome clip. It's 10 minutes long. I won't play the whole thing. But the beauty of understanding reincarnation is it takes away the fear of death. And if you have no fear of death, then you can't be manipulated by the elite. So, Dan, I'm going to give the ball back to you and see where you want to go with this.
Well, you know, it's all about who's in control, you know. Like when Constantine was directed by the church, they took out 25 books out of the Bible, and another 25 books they highly edited and took out a lot of stuff. So, you know, there's good stuff in all the different religious teachings, but they all been filtered through men, you know, on this planet who have their own agendas. And so, you know, you really have to, if you look at the Nazis that were looking for secret occult knowledge all over the planet, and especially when they found King Solomon's treasure in the south of France with the ancient scrolls and tablets that have ancient wisdom that came from the mystery schools of ancient Egypt with during the time of Akhenaten, that it gave an understanding of the matrix of reality, and that we are eternal souls, and that we go through these incarnations, and there's like a veil of forgetfulness that happens when we come into life. And for some people, like a little kid, he could see some of his past. And I've heard lots of cases like that. And that we evolve, you know, according to everyone has a gift of free will. And what you do with your life, I believe, has a direction on where you're going to end up in your next incarnation, you know.
Right.
If you're self-serving, then, you know, you're going to end up with a bunch of other self-serving people. That's not a very happy place. If you care about humanity and care and truly love, mankind, regardless, and just by the very fact of knowing that we're all part of one infinite creation, and that we're all evolving, we're all becoming aware of the best we can, but, you know, there's that spark within each one of us. And if we can truly do things that are of a noble nature, you know, I believe that is carried on with our soul, which is eternal, the body, which is a container in this three-dimensional reality, you know, gets dropped, and you move on, you know. But they don't want people to know that information, because if they did, then they're not so easily controlled. It's like, oh, you only have one life to live, you know, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, it's like scary as hell. You know?
I have another clip that kind of goes down another rabbit hole. We're moving a certain direction in our society. And as we've talked about all this whole show, we're kind of going into corruption and we're falling apart. The other thing that I think is happening is that a scientific dictatorship is being built. And one of the things we're seeing are these chemtrails in the sky. And I've got an interesting clip. It's a short one, pretty short, where Alex Jones and Joe Rogan are talking about geoengineering and weather modification.
You know, I mean, I believe that it's possible. I believe if they're willing to blow up Hiroshima and Nagasaki the way they did, why wouldn't they come up with something like that? You know.
Well, believe me, the NSA will be watching this later. Joe, what do you want to say hi to him?
I want to say I'm a true patriot. I pay my taxes. Leave me alone, please. What are you going to say? You know, I mean, the real problem is that we are moving in a certain direction, and we've been moving in this direction for a long time in this society, and in virtually every society that's ever existed. Every society that has incredible power eventually winds up going into corruption and falling apart. Every empire collapses, and it's because of corruption.
Exactly, but this scientific dictatorship admits in their public documents that they've studied all of that, and they've built a scientific dictatorship so people can't get out of it. Joe, I have hundreds. I always, you know, we joke about documents, but I have hundreds of documents, textbooks, government books, and reports, UN documents, Pentagon documents. This was written by the White House science czar, John P. Holdren, and it was written by one of Bush's advisors, Bush Sr., Paul R. Ehrlich. This calls for putting sterilants in the water to sterilize people, the vaccines, poisoning us, world population reductions of 80%. It is real, and a lot of people can rationalize and say, yeah, there are too many people, instead of understanding, wait, I'm under attack too. They are attacking us, and this guy recently declassified chemtrails, and it made almost no news, and said, yeah, we've been spraying with barium salts and aluminum dioxide. What do you say to that?
What is the chemtrails? What's the purpose of the chemtrails? Is it weather control experiments?
Yes. He says geoengineering or terraforming to save us from global warming.
There's certainly a difference in the way the clouds look. You know, if you look at some clouds that are way up high, some trails from jets, it's like they dissipate. They're in the air like they always have been, and then as the plane is moving, you can actually see them dissipate. But then you have these other ones that, like, they linger, and they spread out, and they literally become clouds. In L.A., they're everywhere. You know, I don't know what that is. I honestly have not looked into it.
Well, the incredible thing is scientists that were outside the government did test it, did look at it. They said it's barium salts.
How did they test it? They went up in the air and scooped
it
up?
Yes, they used aircraft and also got ground samples. And they said this is barium salts, aluminum dioxide, weather modification, nuclei. They declassified some of it 5 years ago. I got Ben Livingston, the father of weather weapons, on. Then, 8 months ago, Holdren, the White House science czar, gives a press conference and says, we've been studying it, and it's aluminum dioxide, barium salts. We're doing it to save you. And it turns out a guy got a Nobel Prize in 92 for developing it. But the point is, there's a giant weather modification program going on. They finally admit it, and it's no big deal.
That's pretty crazy.
Joe, in the last 5 minutes or so we have in this special transmission, I want to thank you for coming in. I know you're a guy that loves freedom and is against...
Who doesn't? Who hates freedom?
The globalists hate freedom.
Anyway, Dan, we've got chemtrails, we've got vaccines, we've got fluoride in the water. It's an incredible situation.
Well, as they say, you know, if you don't change the direction you're headed, you're going to end up where you're going. Yeah, the crowd is behind all this. You know, they're into eugenics. They're, you know, would genetically modify the fluoride in the water, the mercury in the boxes, the chemtrails, and all these different things. They want to reduce the population. At the same time, while they're reducing the population, and the people are getting sick, they can make money on pharmaceuticals. You know, my mother had cancer, and the doctor said they wanted to remove her eye and half her face. And I said, well, let's try an alternative therapy. So it's illegal in California to, you know, do anything other than radiation, surgery, or drugs. So I had to take her across the border, this famous nutritionist, Max Gerson. My mother went over there. I stayed with her for a couple of weeks. They were doing a nutritional therapy. She had a melanoma cancer, by the way. They have people who are like level four. People have given up on them. And my mom came back, that the doctor examined her. By the way, he said, if you go down there, you're going to die. You're going to die if you go down there, you know. And she came back, and the doctor said, I can't see any cancer. What'd you say? Oh, there's no cancer in your body whatsoever. You know, so, you know, and they have the statistics down there, and the statistics are showing that, you know, people who they've given up on are having way better than the chemotherapy and drugs and all these different things, but there's no profit in carrot juice and doing salads with flaxseed oil and steel-cut oats in the morning, you know, and all the different therapies that they do. If the body has this innate intelligence that if you know how to feed it and not feed the cancer, the body will repair itself. So it's a huge industry. You know, as, you know, Raymond Royal White, who had a, came up with a cancer cure by oscillating the cells, and he was a brilliant scientist that, you know, they shut him down. And everybody, it's been like a mafia. And by the way, Max Gerson, the one who just did this therapy, he was publishing a book. His daughter, Charlotte Gerson, told me the story that he almost died of strychnine poisoning. And when he published his book, he had a massive dose of strychnine. And when he died, he wasn't able to heal himself. The American Cancer Society published his death and said that he died of cancer. You know, it's a mafia. It operates just like a mafia. In fact, they even hire the mafia sometimes to do their dirty work. So the thing is that the last thing they want people to become aware is that all the secrecies. I'd like to play a clip in honor of John F. Kennedy. It's only a minute and 30 seconds.
Sure.
And his warning that he gave to the public before he was murdered by what I believe this group. Okay, here is.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed.
And see, why would the President of the United States address the American people with such an announcement unless he understood that the secret societies, my grandfather was a 33rd degree Mason in the Scottish Rite, and his father was a 32nd degree in the High Order. And I've been searching. I've been trying to find out more information about him. But, you know, when you have secret society, you have oaths where you can't reveal things. And you look at, you know, Winston Churchill, Roosevelt, they were Masons. Truman was a 33rd degree Mason. You look at most all the presidents in the United States, except for Kennedy. Lincoln had some association with some Masonic, and those were the two that were assassinated. You talk about infiltration. He knew that Alan Dulles was lying to him, that General Reinhard Gehlen, the head of Nazi intelligence, which they brought the 3,000 spies into the CIA and to Project Paperclip, infiltrated into, and they started branching out with tentacles. And you have this apparatus that's operating behind the shield of our national security apparatus that's doing the chemtrails, you know, through the CIA, through, and you've got WikiLeaks, revealing leaks of Bush, talking about President Bush talking about, if Spain falls regarding, you know, getting GMOs over into Europe, the rest of Europe will follow. You know, talking about punishing the countries that don't accept the genetically modified. You know, and after 4 months, the rats develop these huge tumors, but in 3 months, the people who are ex-executives of Monsanto that are in the Food and Drug Administration that approve it, because they don't see any tumors happen in 3 months. After 4 months, you know, the rats die or are sterilized, and people get sick. And what I found is with the genetically modified, it's a foreign substance that the body can't relate to. It's nothing in nature. And so what it does is it creates an inflammatory response, which weakens the immune system. So if you're prone to get one disease or another, if your immune system is down, as my mother found out, you will get a disease, and you can watch your television, and you can see all the different pills that they have for just about everything nowadays, you know, and there's a lot of money to be made in the pharmaceuticals. So, you know, people need to become aware that you need to start growing your own food and become more self-reliant. You know, as Buckminster Fuller said, you don't fight the existing reality, create a new one, make it obsolete. And we need to move away from the corporate structures that we've become so dependent upon in such a way that look at the health of the American people. We're like number what on the scale of countries? The American people are so overweight from eating all this all the devoid of nutrition and life force food that they sell. And you just keep eating it because your body's still starving for nutrition. But, you know, I can go into a whole show on that alone. But,
really?
It's the life force in the food that you pick and eat that is so rejuvenating, you know, to the body.
And it takes away your appetite, too, because we grow our own food, not all of it. I mean, we have five raised beds, but when you eat real vegetables and real potatoes and real cucumbers and real tomatoes, you find it. You just don't need to eat, and you don't want to eat anything else. And it helps make you lose weight. It's really interesting.
It does, because your body says, "Ah, I got what I needed." But you keep getting the junk stuff. The body says, "Oh, I'm still on empty. Feed me more, you know, and so people are overweight, you know, and they can barely get on the airplane seats.
Exactly. Well, there's another aspect to this whole conspiracy. That clip you played with Kennedy said a really important thing. It said, there is a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy. Well, there's another aspect to this conspiracy, and I want to play this, and this talks about transhumanism, and I'll just play a minute or two of this one. This is the next phase of the conspiracy.
Let's get into the big report. And I've already been leading up to this here, so this whole the last 20 minutes really just integrates in with this information. United Nations envisions transhumanist future where man is obsolete. And that's Aaron Dyke's article at Infowars.com. The Globalist Future 2045 International Congress, led by iconic futurist Ray Kurzweil, who says he wants world government, and held in Moscow a few months back, lays out stark vision of a future for neo-human where AI, cybernetics, nanotech, and other emerging technologies replace mankind, and openly transhumanist visions now being steered by the elite, but which emerge out of a Darwinistic circles directed by the likes of T.H. Huxley and his grandchildren, Julian, who coined the term transhumanism. As Aldous...
Anyway, they want us to merge with machines, Dan, And in the next 2 or 3 years, we're going to see the Google Brain implant come out. So I wondered if you had looked into this aspect of the conspiracy.
Oh, well, yeah, you can see it on the movies, you know. I watched the movies that they put out, especially, you know, Spielberg, you know, they brought to the 1999 Bilderberg meeting because they knew he was a big influence because he's put out the major extraterrestrial-related movies. But it has to do with extraterrestrials or UFOs. You can bet your bottom dollar that the CIA is in there with Hollywood liaisons constructing the script in such a way as to gain a certain perception. And, you know, they have this new series we've been watching, Extant, you know, EXTANT. You know, it's another transhumanist. We have, you know, Johnny Depp, you know, in Transcendence. You have, you look at the major actors and the major players. Yeah, you can see what they're putting into the subconscious, getting people ready. And that's what William Casey, the CIA director for Ronald Reagan, is saying, is that they put these things out there to keep people's minds open, but they do it also, you know, in order to hide their secret anti-gravity vehicles, too, to make people think, oh, they're all extraterrestrial. Well, they're not. I've seen them fly over 100 feet above my head, so I know they exist. Whether they're made in the USA or made on another planet, you know, you don't know because it could be like half of them are, you know, black budget projects, but or at least a certain percentage are extraterrestrial. They're seeding the subconscious of millions for these movies.
Is there a new transhumanist TV show out?
Extant, E-X-T-A-N-T, on the CBS network.
I haven't seen that. What's that one like? I don't watch any TV.
Oh, it's Hale Bailey's playing in it, and she gets impregnated by an extraterrestrial-type being, and her husband has a boy since they didn't have a baby, and so he made an artificial intelligence child. And, I don't want to ruin the plot, but it's
weird.
High dollar, you know, it's well done. You know, Spielberg's an executive producer on it, along with, you know, the big players, you keep an eye on, and I like watching the news, but I watch the news highly objectively. You know, once you open the Pandora's box and you understand that the media is being completely infiltrated and instrumented in such a way as to gain a certain perception in your psyche to go along with the agenda, that you look at news in a different way. You don't just sit back and go into alpha state and just accept everything as, you know, face value. In fact, it's interesting that other countries already accept that the mainstream media is propaganda, and they just take that for granted. But in America, there's this want to believe that and, you know, the news reporters are innocent. They're just, you know, they're telling the news as they're getting it distributed to them, you know. And the thing that made that apparent was Russia Today had this one thing about the they collected all the different networks across the United States, ABC, NBC, CBS, and they had this one little line saying, Easter Bunny has lost its spring and its stuff because of economic sanctions this year. I mean, that's a very unusual statement, right? You wouldn't imagine everybody would be saying that. But every single news reporter that's being hired by these different local networks, you know, of the affiliates, is saying, I used to be an ABC newsman, so I used to do the news off of United Press International and AP and read the news, and I would just assume that whatever I'm reading is what it is. That's the news. But they control the distribution, and so every single reporter was saying the Easter Bunny has lost its stuff, and, you know, so it shows that the newspaper reporters are doing what they believe is truthful, okay? But it's the distribution and control of the information, you know, such as stations like CNN is like a flagship of and when CBS, if I can, I'm going to play a little minute clip of what CBS interviewed me for 45 minutes, and I told them that, you know, about we have these scientists within the Black Projects, once they're released from the National Security Oath, that they can prove before an open scientific congressional hearing that everybody can see, not secrecy, but everybody can see and prove that we haven't needed oil, radiation, or coal for 60 years. We have these technologies, and they promised up and down, and the lady said, you know, the higher executives cut it out. Watch, they do an exact cookie cutter of CNN, and the only thing I say is we've reached a critical time where the truth needs to be revealed to the people, but that truth got edited out, and here's that.
We are not alone. That's the message a group of pilots, scientists, and former government officials want Congress to hear. Ken Shotnick shows us tonight what some people are calling a UFO cover-up.
I've never seen it. Look at that.
I don't know, but I got it on tape.
A strand of moving life in the sky over Phoenix. A bright glowing streak dashing through West Covina. What looks like a flying saucer tracked on radar over Mexico City. Are these UFOs caught on tape? Dan Wills is a former radio operator for the Navy.
I took personally communications from ships that were reporting the extraterrestrial craft merging out of the ocean and shooting off in space.
He's among a group of scientists, military, and former FAA officials calling for congressional hearings to establish the presence of UFOs and extraterrestrials. 21 members of that group already have testified in Washington for what's known as the Disclosure Project. Dr. Stephen Greer is the director of the Disclosure Project. He's gathered 400 witnesses who say it's time for government secrecy to end.
We can establish through this testimony that these objects of extraterrestrial origin have been tracked on radar going thousands of miles per hour.
It's come to a critical point where the truth needs to be revealed to the people.
They believe a congressional hearing is the only way to set the record straight.
The Disclosure Project has its work cut out for it because as of right now, no congressional hearings are planned. For CBS 2 News Special Assignment, I'm Ken.
No congressional hearings are planned. Notice the tagline, we are not alone. Now, if they want, they can use that to put that in everybody's psyche. We are not alone, so that if they ever pulled off that false flag alien invasion that Von Braun warned about, then that could work for them.
Oh, yeah.
But notice after 45 minutes of interviewing, all I said was we've reached a critical point where the truth needs to be revealed to the people. And I was telling them all about the technologies and the Black Project and the scientists that we have and all this. And so that was my next wake-up call. I thought, well, maybe CNN is just totally lame. You know, I can't imagine, you know, being a newspaper reporter. I used to be an ABC newsman. I couldn't imagine myself being there and talking about 57 different species, you know, an extraterrestrial base, if that's what it was, since they have a secret space program, and it could have been the Nazis or the U.S. secret space program up there that Carl Wolf saw, one of our witnesses that testified that day, and was willing to go, each one of us saying we're willing to testify under oath before a congressional hearing. That's perjury. You know, and each one of us willing to break national security oath in order to do this, all 21 of us, you know. So, you know, all these things being disclosed, and the only thing that comes out of that is that I want to have a congressional hearing on it. We are not alone. You know, it was a wake-up call for myself that, okay, the higher executives, read CIA. So... That's why the average Joe out there listening to the news has no idea, and they maintain control through the secrecy that Kennedy warned about, that they use the secrecy in their national security apparatus is the perfect avenue in order to keep all these operations hidden.
You know, the thing that concerns me is we got a September 11th coming up again, and I wonder if the powers that be are going to have some other false flag thing occur that'll be worse than even 9/11. What if they let a nuke off? You know, they've opened the border up. ISIS or whoever can come right across anytime they want. You know, this whole idea we're fighting terrorists is kind of lame when you keep your southern border wide open. And we just sold our best
think about this.
Team to Iraq, so it's a joke. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, think about this. If they have quantum computer processing capability, which is probably incomprehensible to most people of the processing capability, imagine using artificial intelligence and be able to read every single email, every phone conversation, backdoor keys to your Mac or your Windows computer or your phone, every bit of communication that happens on this planet, and is able to intelligently determine what you're thinking, essentially, by your communications. So any psychological operations that have been drummed up by the thousands of think tanks with Tavistock connected in with the CIA, that is connected in with the distribution of the mainstream media, that they would know how, if we're waking up or we're catching on, are the people catching on, or do we need a big distraction? You know, it was interesting that Stephen Bassett had the citizens hearing back in 2011, I believe it was, or 2013. Anyway, it just so happens, like, just like 2 days before the event, we have the Boston bombing, and as you know, that all the media was filled with that. And it's like 4 months after the Disclosure Project, we have, and I'm not saying that that's what happened, but you can imagine events like that totally saturate the media, and you don't get attraction, you don't get attention onto anything else other than that. So if they're planning on something, you know, the whole 9/11 thing is like hinging on so many things that it's, we've lost so many freedoms, we've gone into so many wars, so much has been based on that one event, and yet there's so many glitches, you could say, in that whole reality that a lot of people have. In fact, there was an MSNBC poll, I think it was like 63% believe that the government was involved in that. You know, the few terrorists that the official story just didn't fit, you know. And you're looking at, you know, Building 7 going free fall, like controlled demolition, and, you know, and you have thousands of engineers and scientists, you know. It was a false flag event. So you have to look at what's the next false flag event, what you're saying. But, you know, hopefully, you know, the tide will turn and more people will become awake soon, and that we have people on the inside in the intelligence community and the military who I know are aware. And most of the intelligence community is pretty smart. They know what's being fed a lie to the public and what's not, you know, for national security, of course. But there's It's a big chessboard they're playing on the game, and the human race isn't getting the better of the deal. This breakaway civilization has these technologies that are so far in advance of everything that we have on this planet, and I believe there's got to be a way that, you know, if we all could work together, I know they can't see that. They see us as, you know, just stupid animals that are like their cattle or something, that they're keeping stupid and manipulating through the psychological operations, that, you know, there exists this incredible potential to have a world that doesn't have to go in the direction that it has been going.
Dan, have you heard of the term FEMA capstone event? It's something I've just heard recently.
What is it called?
It's called a FEMA capstone event. They are these planned drills that go all the way up to the president. They're planned. They take place allegedly, according to people like Wolfgang Halbig, Sophia Smallstorm, that the Sandy Hook thing was what they call a FEMA capstone event, literally a drill, planned months and months ahead of time. And there's actually a company now in Washington, D.C., called, I think it's called Obsidian Analysis. I'll have to look that name up again and ensure that that's right. That plans these events, stages these events, all in detail. I didn't know if you'd heard of that. Have you heard of that yet, FEMA Capstone event?
No, but it's, as my mother used to say from Argentina, an old saying, the devil always forgets to put the lid back on the cookie jar. There's glitches in this matrix reality that shows they have people who are actors that are paid by the CIA that do things, you know. Getting into it, you can listen to Calic Jones and, all the stuff, thank God he's out there putting out his stuff and everything like that. But, a lot of it, it evokes fear,
Sure.
Because you see all the stuff, you see all the little inner workings, you see the immense amount of resources and money that they have and their connections and how they have infiltrated, as Kennedy said, into the government. So, no matter who goes in an oval room ever since Kennedy, it's they're on board, So, when you look at the news and you look at all the horrific things going on, it almost feeds that reality, I wonder, I don't have an answer other than I believe the answer is within consciousness and becoming, all of us becoming awake of who we are, which is the one thing they're definitely afraid of, is that we become awake to who we are and the power that we have, because the old evidence shows that the government was afraid that if human beings became aware of the powers of consciousness, that they wouldn't be able to control us. And it's all about being in control. They have all the money that you can imagine through all the resources. It's not so much about money anymore, but it's a matter of control. They want to control the population, like William Binney disclosed from the NSA. I don't know what to say.
I have an interesting
You can see all the indicators of the glitches.
I have an interesting clip here from Wolfgang Halbig. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's talking about the Sandy Hook school shootings or the alleged school shootings. And he's also making the comment that no trauma helicopters showed up, that no parents in Sandy Hook have filed any lawsuits or anything of that nature. So let's listen a minute or two of this.
Again, Bedandi for Infowars.com, and we are at the city of Newtown, Connecticut, having a hearing on the Sandy Hook incident. And with me is Wolfgang Halbig. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, great. Thanks for seeing me again.
Absolutely. I just got a couple questions today. One is, what inspired you? What led you to start investigating Sandy Hook?
Well, you know what? I didn't have a chance to tell the school board members tonight, but you know what? When the Connecticut State Police sends police officers to my house, and they threaten me, and they tell me that I can no longer ask questions about the Sandy Hook school shooting, I kept thinking, isn't there freedom of speech here somewhere in America? I'm a naturalized U.S. citizen.
I think that's what's called the First Amendment, right?
First Amendment. You know what the board members don't understand is they send police officers to my house, so guess what? I'm coming to their house, and I'm simply asking, okay, why in the world would you not respond to simple FOIA request? And why would you not even return phone calls? You know, America today, we all have kids, we deserve the truth. And why in the world would you not tell the truth?
My name is Wolfgang Helbig. I'm from Lake County, Florida, town called Sorrento, Florida. I'm a national school safety consultant. For the last 25 years, I've traveled the country. And you look at me like I'm here today to create a problem. That's the last thing I want to do. You have an incident that happened on December 14, 2012, as tragic as it was. It got national attention, worldwide attention. I was one of the first people in my community to donate money to your cause. Let me tell you something, when tragedy strikes in any community, the first thing you can do is give money, because it takes money to heal.
What, to you, what's the biggest red flag in your head with the whole Sandy Hook incident?
Well, you know, as I said in there, when this happened and it unfolded, I reached in my pocket and I send money. Guess what? We all send money. You know, this town collected $29 million from people from all across America because of the tragedy. I'm one of them. It's my pocket. And guess what? As a national school safety consultant, I couldn't believe after a week I'm going, no trauma helicopters? Who in the world is the incident commander who would not request the best medical care? Who would not let the paramedics in?
Anyway, no trauma helicopters. They didn't let the paramedics in. No parents have filed lawsuits. Sandy Hook is
another perfect example.
Go ahead.
Another perfect example of the glitches in reality. You know, you see people see these glitches and these inconsistencies. You know, 9/11, Sandy Hook, the JFK assassination. I'm not sure there's many others, but
you know, you remember the Boston bombing, the guy there. The guy in the wheelchair was supposedly
yeah,
had
the
his...
Yes. Yeah, the
supposedly
Boston bombing.
Supposedly had his left leg blown off.
Even the Gulf of Tonkin, so I didn't have to go to Vietnam and be in combat action over the, you know. They found out that was all bogus, you know.
Right.
58,000 young guys lost their lives because of that. And the captain I knew, he saw the drugs being shipping on, you know. And they make a lot of money on illegitimate channels of income for their operations, all behind what Kennedy was going to expose. He was going to stop the drug operations. He was going to stop the Vietnam War. He was going to stop the Federal Reserve. They hoodwinked us back in 1913, you know, with Warburg. And, you know, and he was going to look into the operations of the Majestic 12 Group, which was originally created by Truman under the advice of General Twining, the original Majestic 12 Group. But the secret executive order that Eisenhower put out had all the cabal members, you know, in, you know, the Rockefellers and Allen Dulles heading it. And, you know, so... Yeah, there's glitches in the reality matrix, and some people just kind of like brush them off and say, oh, well, that's just conspiracy theory, you know. They wouldn't be lying to us. But, you know, as Hitler made it really clear, you know, you look at the 9/11, you look at the big museum that they have, and the pictures, they have this big memorial, right, in honoring of all the people who died. And they have pictures of the hijackers and all the official story stuff in the museum, right? But to really honor the people who died, the truth, you know, to be revealed is, you know, oh, my God. I'm trying to think of the thought I was thinking. But the, you know, all the glitches that are in that reality, why they make it all secret. If it was really such a situation where it was as the official story says it is, then there should be no reason for secrecy. All the files should be open. It should be open to investigate by everyone in minute detail and to see whether or not this was a false flag planned event in order to get us into a war in the Middle East and the ongoing war on terror, which was planned. The people who were in the buildings were basically a human sacrifice for that. You know, it's a lot of people, you know, they can't imagine. Now I remember my thought. I just have to lose it sometimes. Hitler said, you know, just tell a small lie, you know, people catch on. But if you tell such a huge, infamous lie that it has a certain degree of credibility, because nobody can possibly conceive that such a large lie could be told. And he said, you know, it's been used infamously and villainously by great liars around the world in his book, you know, My Struggle, Mein Kampf. And he did a similar thing with the Rogstock building, which they took away all the people's
freedoms and things after that, you know, after they did, you know, blamed it on the communists, and we blamed on the, but why were the Syrians, when every plane was shut down across the United States, but the, you know, the people in Syria were allowed to just fly back to their country. You know, it's like little glitches in the matrix show that there's something else. And why was there an exact exercise being done? And why were people told to stand down when we're flying into airspace and they knew something was wrong? You know, if I heard what Cheney was doing. So you have all these little glitches in the reality, but a lot of people just find it hard to believe. I know a lot of my family has a hard time believing that maybe there is another story behind what the official story is on many things. But,
well, Dan,
you know, it's just,
I'm sorry to interrupt
you. People want to believe.
We've only got a minute left, and I want to make sure you have the time to tell people about your website again.
Oh, go to thewebmatrix.net. That's a little story Hollywood wanted me to put up since I was I was a ABC newsman on media control. And you can, you know, don't take any word for what anybody says. Everybody has to do their own research and find out for themselves and connect the dots. And let's move into a future that is promising for all of humanity.
But Dan, you've got so much information. It's just amazing. I think we have another 2 hours we could just do right now, but I really appreciate you coming on the show. Maybe we can do you think someday in the future we could get some of the other witnesses from the Disclosure Project?
Possibly. I know Carl Wolf saw the base on the other side of the moon. He's been kind of backed off completely because he thought, he said, you know, here's 3 years, and I thought it was going to be on the mainstream news, and still has. But Jim Nichols was supposed to join us today. I missed him, but we'll have to do it again. There's so much more to cover.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot, guys. It's been a great show. Have a good evening.